Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
I mean, you have to get at least to that part, obviously. 810 here. Even I know that. 810 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Joining us now, couldn't join us yesterday because it's Memorial Day, but Congressman Jimmy Petronas, District 1 Northwest Florida, is with us. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, great to be with you.
Great to have you. Let's talk about the big, beautiful bill that, of course, passed by one vote. How important did you feel when it passed by one vote?
There wasn't a big line of people running up to say thank you for getting elected. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Here's the challenge. We were up for 24 hours straight, literally awake. You had a few members, but took naps. We had one member who overslept and missed the vote altogether. But you know, the Democrats were going to be locked in. They were going to they threatened Hakeem Jeffries. You know, threatened to want to, every time he got interrupted, he was going to extend his speech by 15 minutes. He knew he didn't have the votes. So it was childish. Okay. The games are being played,
but
this is what we had to do to get the president's agenda, at least across the finish line for the House of Representatives.
Okay. You can't just say somebody overslept and not tell me who overslept. I mean, who overslept?
Oh no. I got to pull it up.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
I haven't met him.
I thought maybe there were, you know,
a congressman from, it was a Republican from New York. I think we had two that missed the votes. And it was kind of funny. He said, "Oh, well, by the time I got to the chamber, the voting already closed out." Then the speaker does a press conference after her gaggle.
Yeah.
The speaker just threw the member under the bus saying, overslept.
Oh, man. Well, I think, you know, we have all had things we overslept on at times. I have kind of a big picture question. There's a lot of very interesting things in this bill. We'll see if we can get to a couple of them. But I have a big picture question. So for the last 4 months, we've heard nothing but Doge and cuts, people getting fired, budget slashed, you know, chainsaw to the forest kind of thing. And then in this bill, we're raising the debt ceiling by a couple of $1 trillion. And I know historically President Trump has always been willing to raise the debt ceiling. It's one of the things that drives me crazy about his fiscal policy. But on the one hand, we're cutting. If we're cutting, why do we have to raise the debt ceiling? Shouldn't we be seeing some savings? I mean, I thought the point was to chip into this debt and to really kind of pay. I mean, I kind of know the answer, but I wanted to hear your perspective on, you know, why we're in where we're at.
Yeah, it was put together as really like about a 10-year plan. So we instituted $1.5 trillion in savings, okay? But at the same time, the president wanted no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, expanded the child tax credit. There were some benefits to seniors regarding Social Security benefits. So all those cost money. So the House was adamant. We've got to cut spending. Okay. Do I want to cut more? Absolutely. But we got $1.5 trillion on the table. The president had his tax cuts that he wanted to extend that passed back in 2017, and he had the new tax cuts.
Yeah.
So we had to bring this as a balanced package. So that's why it's a 10-year benefit for the savings, benefit for the taxes. But we had to increase the credit limit, the debt ceiling, in order to give him breathing room to bring his new benefits online. And you hope that, you know, you think about the typical service industry employee, you know, maybe they make somewhere in the tune of $40,000 to $45,000 a year. Well, now you've taken taxes off of those tip wages, and now it's going to be a shot in the arm. Well, those dollars will be spent. They'll dump into the economy. I would think most restaurants are going to have people standing in line to wait tables just because of how lucrative a benefit that'll become. It'll change the dynamics of going out to eat a lot. I wouldn't be even surprised if you don't see restaurants having a different approach to the customer because of it. It'll be interesting how the cultural change.
Yeah, I mean, I like the provision. It's interesting. I thought it was a little weird that the cap was $25,000. That seemed like a pretty low cap for, you know, restaurant employee. I mean, a good bartender, a good waiter is going to certainly exceed that cap on reported wages, and kind of a weird mixed bag that you have. It's up to $160,000 total income, and I'm like, who's making $160,000 and is only paying $25,000? You know, it just, anyway, the numbers didn't quite add up to me, but it's a benefit, as you say, and people are going to be spending the economy. The other thing, sure, in smaller notes, just from the plan, the MAGA accounts, well, they're Trump accounts now, $1,000 for newborn babies. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, I've got, my wife and I, we it seemed like just yesterday we were raising our boys when they were newborns, and the amount of resources it takes to raise a child, the diapers, the diversion you're taking from a lot of, you're just not able to work as much.
Yeah.
So I mean, I get it. Where the president's going with this, he wants to help out young families. You know, it's a very compassionate provision that he wanted in the legislation. So I mean, this is for families, but I can see where some people are scratching their head a little bit. But end of the day, this was a priority of the president, and we aligned on that interest.
And boy, I will tell you, given the cost of a child, a healthy child with no complications is, I mean, just minimum. Just to walk in the door, you're $5,000. You know, and so
yeah,
you know,
and not everybody has siblings with kids that you can borrow clothes from after,
yep,
they outgrow them.
Yep.
I mean, ours, it seemed like we were buying shoes every other month because of how quick the kids were growing. You're buying outfits. And so the hand-me-downs, at least in my family, were appreciated because I was the baby of four boys.
Right.
So we were constantly getting clothes from my brother.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of elements like that. And, you know, so in theory, just like the child tax credit, in theory, you know, I'm a supporter. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman from District 1. John Pickens has Traffic on the 5. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free, just seeing some minor delays on I-10 eastbound through the construction zone right around the Highway 29 exit. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman from District 1. You've been able to be the Speaker pro tem once, twice, how many times since you've been in office?
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Okay. Is it fun, or is it like, why do I have to do this?
Oh, no. It's a lot of fun. I mean, one, it's one of the most hallowed chambers in the United States. And so to be able to sit there and moderate the debate between members on legislation. It was funny. Brian Mast was actually the manager on the Republican legislation at that time. So it's kind of, so the manager is typically the chairman of the committee. So it was a bill that came out of Foreign Affairs. Brian Mast chairs Foreign Affairs, and then he will line up speakers to speak on behalf of the bill. The ranking member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Democrat, will then line up speakers to speak against the legislation. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm playing traffic cop between the two of them to make sure that, you know, equal time is being heard in the chamber for the record, speaking for and against the legislation. So yeah, it's kind of like driving a Mack truck. You got to pay attention.
That makes sense. The penny elimination is kind of a fun one. We haven't talked a lot about this on the show, but a little bit. We're phasing out. We've ordered our last blanks for the pennies, and then it's going to be what? You know, every man for himself, but use your nickels. The one, like, the math on this has always struck me as weird. I get that pennies are expensive to make, but they are cheaper to make by a lot than nickels, which doesn't this just drive up the cost of nickels, or the, you know, the more cost because we're using nickels more? And also, doesn't Congress need to enact legislation to require rounding or something, because online prices into the pennies, regular prices into the, like, how does this all work?
Yeah, so and we haven't had a copper penny in over a decade. So our pennies right now, they're copper plated zinc.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of funny. Yeah, and you're exactly right. Now there's going to be a hell of a lot more stress placed on nickels. of this rounding. I can't imagine how the point of sale and the retailers are freaking out as the gravity of this starts to sink in. But yeah, we're going to have to enact some legislation from Congress in order to ultimately push this through. Or you'll see what pennies are in circulation will stay in circulation, and then businesses will start to evolve. But is the savings great? It's a few million dollars. It's not massive, but again, I think there's the old adage: if you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
If you watch your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. It's a little bit of a similar analogy. We can't manage our spending enough in Washington, and where we can save money, we should save money, in my opinion.
You know, one of the things, and this is, again, an issue where I thought this was a congressional thing. Of course, you know, the president is doing almost anything he wants to do, and then it's a question of will court step in, will Congress step in, and so forth. But this issue of Harvard has become a big issue in the last few days, banning the foreign students, threatening to shift $3 billion in grants from the research side of Harvard over into trade schools, which is money appropriated, as I understand, by Congress for research, so it would take a congressional reallocation. But, you know, you're in the business side of things, you're not an education committee or anything like that, but what role do you see Congress having in specifically this Harvard situation with the reallocation of these grants, or do you?
I like the idea of digging into not just Harvard's grants, but all grants. We've got a system in Washington, and we also have it at a state level. The state of Florida is not hurting for money the way Washington is, but we create this solution that, you know, we want to spawn research, or you name it, or we want to provide, you know, infrastructure. So we'll create some criteria and let cities, county schools, what have you, can apply for the money. And then we write them a check. Well, what doesn't happen is the type of follow-up that should take place. Are those dollars being spent on what the grant was initially programmed to do? And we flow so much money out of government coffers through these grant solutions. To me, there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse. So yeah, and grants should not be something as a guaranteed recurring income. I mean, a grant should be a program that's out there, let somebody apply for it, hopefully they have some good that's from it, and then Congress should be forced to reauthorize that whole process all over again based on the productivity of those dollars. Well, it gets into autopilot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. We should not allow such enormous sums of money just to go into autopilot without any accountability of what those dollars are really truly doing, because they are taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I mean, $3 billion. I'm not saying that there's not, you know, good research being done at Harvard, but, you know, eventually you add up billions and eventually it's real money. I mean, that's a lot of money we're talking about. And,
it is. And
I'm with you that there needs to be accountability. I've always been a fan of the zero-based budgeting kind of concept, that every year you have to come back and justify everything you're doing. And frankly, budgets, grants, legislation, all of these things ought to have goals, benchmarks, you hit or you don't hit, and sunset provisions. You know, this is a 5-year, this is a 2-year, and maybe some of them, maybe many of them do, but the expectation that just every year we're going to get billions of dollars, and as you say, not just Harvard, but across the board, you know, where's the money going? DOGE for education. I mean, I'm in. You know, that's a good thing, right?
Well, and sometimes the only way to what the president's trying to do, the only way you can get somebody's attention and force them to come forward with their homework to show if they've actually done their assignment is cut the money off.
Yeah.
Okay, so managing the enormous amount of money that flows out of our country's coffers every day into entities that seem to be reliable in sense, there's no way you can manage it efficiently. And so, you know, I appreciate the governor. And you know what he's doing? He's starting with the biggest, most highest profile consumer of grant dollars in the whole United States. And let me get your attention, because the trickle-down effect that I'll have, if he punches Harvard in the mouth, then everybody else is going to say, you know what, we better tighten up.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting approach. I don't know that I totally agree with what he's doing in some of the particulars, but the idea of bringing accountability to higher education, especially on the funding side, I mean, I couldn't be more on board with that. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, as always. Sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again next week, Monday at 7:35 like normal. But thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Have a fantastic week. Thank you for having me.
You as well. You as well. 824 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you are a business owner, you have employee benefits to deal with, you have health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, this is all the stuff that you did not get into business to do. But you get into business to do your thing, and you do it well, and you hire employees, and you got more and more employees, and all of a sudden you got this whole other industry you got to take care of, which is the benefit side. Well, this is why you talk to Torgerson Causey. They are a fantastic local employee benefits agency. We've been using them for about 4 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. They gave us better options than we had before. Options. We really didn't have options before we had options. And better on the customer service side. So when we have questions, and we always have questions, think about it. Me and my wife, come on. We have questions. They have answers. And better, good answers, which is, we always respect that. More than 20 years helping people like you run your business more efficiently and get better benefits for your employees. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
I can't imagine you and your wife together and the questions that y'all come up with. I can only imagine.
Well, like minds.
I know. That's what's scary. All right. No accidents to report to you right now if you're on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. You see in about a 3 to 4 minute delay. Nothing big right there. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's a brother and sister country music duo and Pensacola's very own Pearl and Rafe. Pearl brings the glitter, Rafe brings the grit, and together they bring the party wherever they go. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Pearl and Rafe. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I quote John Lennon, "I don't believe in Beatles, I just believe in me." A good point there. After all, he was the walrus. I could be the walrus. I'd still have to bum rides off of people.
Heads up!
Good morning, 828 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. The White Island restoration is going on big time, hot and heavy out there. If you don't know, White Island is that little barrier buffer from NAS Pensacola east into the bay. And we were out boating around there the other day, and I had seen some of the pictures online. My good friend Deborah Dunlap keeps posting stuff about that. But, man, that's a massive operation that they're re-nourishing that thing. And, giant hoses and pumps and excavators and everything out there making that island be much more like what it used to be. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a new report out says the unemployment rate may be near a 50-year low, but the functional employment rate could be a lot higher than that. The Ludwig Institute for Shared Economic Prosperity looked at unemployed workers, people who can't find full-time employment, and people stuck in jobs where they just barely or possibly can't afford to live. Using those metrics, this report estimates the true unemployment rate to be around 24%.
Yeah, it's great. I saw that story yesterday, too, and it's interesting about the problematic, right? People who have part-time want to do full-time. People who make – they were doing full-time, but they're not making enough to live off of it. How do you quantify that? Because we tend to think, right. Oh, 4% unemployment, that's fantastic. Well, I mean, maybe that's not enough of a picture of the story, right?
Absolutely, and there's a lot of those people out there.
Right.
You know, a big issue right now. A search continuing for a former Arkansas police chief that escaped from Calico Rock Prison while serving time for murder and rape. Authorities say Grant Hardin escaped from that prison on Sunday while wearing a makeshift law enforcement uniform. He was serving a 30-year sentence. And court back in session today in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs. The first witness that is expected to be called today is Capricorn Clark. Of course, no big details on that case here.
All right, David, thanks so much. I appreciate that. Oh, somebody says, when did you get a boat? My wife has wanted to get, we got an inflatable. It's like an 11-foot inflatable raft, like you think of the, you know, their ribs kind of thing, that size, with a trolling motor and a lithium-ion car battery. So we're cooking along at like 3.5 knots. And it's fun. I mean, it's weird. It's like the lowest possible point of entry into the boating, but we're boating now.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Russia's strange war dance, with President Trump losing patience after its drone blitz on Ukraine. Russia now says it's grateful to President Trump for the peace process, but Fox's Jonathan Savage.
President Donald Trump clearly upset by Russia's largest aerial assault yet on Ukraine and frustrated by a lack of progress towards peace, saying his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin had gone absolutely crazy. The Kremlin's hit back, Putin's spokesman saying the crazy comment was connected to an emotional overload of everyone involved.
The FBI under Kash Patel reopening three high-profile cases uncracked by the Biden FBI, including cocaine in a White House cubby. Three more inmates on a jailbreak from New Orleans captured. Two of them got as far as Walker County, Texas. Nabbed by Texas DPS. 13 people so far charged with aiding and abetting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 82 right now, and we've got mostly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get a full check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, there could be big changes at the University of West Florida today. The Board of Trustees is meeting now to formally accept Dr. Martha Saunders' resignation and to appoint an interim president.
That is what I think will probably happen here at UWS. If the interim is doing real well, the board has to find a way to appoint them, and they'll set up their contract so that they probably could select that person.
And that's a former president, Dr. Judith Bentz. Of course, the State Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. set to be appointed as interim president today. Bentz saying that she believes he'll be named permanent president later on as well. And Diaz said a couple of weeks ago that, or last week rather, that he would be interested in having discussions about that job. A shooting in Fairhope left one person injured. Police say they're investigating. It happened in the Rock Creek neighborhood Saturday.
Heard something from my bedroom, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. So it sounded like a gunshot, and I'm thinking, okay, probably nothing. So I go back to sleep and all that, and I wake up the next morning, parents tell me someone was shot in the neck here in this area, and I was like, really?
That's neighbor Ethan Kellerman. He tells Channel 3 that he's lived in that neighborhood his whole life, and this is the first controversial thing that's happened there. The incident was described as being a tragic firearm discharge accident on a GoFundMe that's been set up for the victim. Police in Fairhope say they are still investigating. Well, summer's here, so are the tourists. This report from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says it's time for local businesses to shine.
It's like a line out of Matthew Broderick's role in Biloxi Blues. Man, it's hot outside. The official 100 days of summer underway and continues through Labor Day. Local businesses say this is the time when the hospitality and tourism industry soars. Local businesses are trying to avoid raising prices to keep those customers happy and fuel the additional summer hires. For travelers this summer, gas prices are expected to be the lowest since 2021. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Ashley Moody back from what she's calling a great honor. She was in New York over the weekend to attend the graduation ceremony for the United States Military Academy at West Point. President Trump gave the commencement address. Moody wrote on X that she's incredibly proud of the nation's newest officers. Governor DeSantis commenting on X about Memorial Day yesterday. He says it's up to us to secure our liberty by producing leaders who are willing to make great sacrifices on behalf of others. He wrote, quote, God bless the memory of those who gave their last full measure of devotion in service to the United States of America. 11 people have been hurt. This is after a boat explosion yesterday. Broward County happened in Fort Lauderdale in the late afternoon hours. Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue says the boat exploded as it was anchored on a sandbar in the intracoastal waterway. 13 people were on board. 9 adults and 2 kids were thrown overboard. 10 people were taken to a burn unit in Miami. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. Right here. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 is starting to clear up a little bit on the eastbound side right around Highway 29. But still expect a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area just due to construction. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a chance of rain today, 40% chance of a pop-up shower or thunderstorm, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 84. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping a 40% chance of rain on that Thursday with a high near 80 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, it's 83 degrees in Pensacola, and Gulf Breeze, 82 reported in Milton. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now. Markets are up this morning. The Dow's up 293 points, 41,895. S&P up 55 points, 58,57. NASDAQ up 237 points at 18,974. 10-year bond rate down just slightly at 4.481%. Gold prices are down 71.70, 32.94.10. Silver prices down 44 cents at 33.17. And crypto up across the board today. Bitcoin up just over 1,000 at 110, 133. Ethereum's up 115. Solana's up 427. Dogecoin up by a fraction of a cent. And XRP up by 2 cents as well. SpaceX says they're expecting to launch their 9th Starship test later today. The company issued a warning about possible loud noises that could be heard in Texas, south of their launch site. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk also planning a company talk called The Road to Making Life Multiplanetary later today. That'll be live streamed on the SpaceX social media accounts. Millions of Americans are seeing credit scores crater from delinquent student loans.
An analysis by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows that credit scores dropped by more than 100 points for over 2 million delinquent student loan borrowers. Scores fell 150 points or more for more than 1 million in the first 3 months of 2025. It's similar to the sharp drop that follows a personal bankruptcy filing. Researchers said about 2 million of those previously had favorable credit scores and would have qualified for car loans, mortgages, or credit cards before the delinquencies were reported. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Southwest Airlines is ending its popular two bags fly free perk this week. The low-cost air carrier says that move was made to drive revenue growth. It's an about-face for Southwest CEO Bob Jordan, who said in September that having no bag fees was a huge consumer advantage for the company. Southwest is also set to end open seating in the first half of next year. 8:38, our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We Care Home Hotline, you're on with Woody.
Hey, Woody, have you ever heard an air conditioner this loud?
No, but the good news is We Care has more than 10 years in business and thousands of positive reviews, so our HVAC, plumbing, and electrical teams can get it fixed and fast.
Thanks, Woody.
No one cares like We Care. Schedule online at wecareheatandair.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, let's talk about gasoline for a second. You know, I got to imagine the people that tune in for the frivolous topic at 8:40 every day, you're like, I don't know what's coming. Just bring it.
I don't even know what's coming, so I'm with you.
I tell you the topic in advance, like what, 1 out of 50?
Like 1 out of 100.
Okay, all right. So here we go. When do you fill up your gas in the car? When? Are you weekly? Are you when it's at a half? Are you when it's yelling at you with orange lights and blinking? It's almost on empty. Do you do it based on, I don't know, price or when you see a deal? Like, what's your threshold? When do you fill up your gas tank? 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm curious what your answers are, as always, because, you know, everybody, I think, is a little bit different on this, and it's kind of like the phone battery, you know? When does your phone battery start to scare you? When does your car gauge, gas gauge, start to scare you a little bit? 437-1620. John, do you have a practice?
I used to be a quarter of a tanker.
Okay.
I discovered the half tank method.
Oh, tell me.
Well, you know, when you get to half a tank, you consider yourself that's empty for you. So just fill up. It's cheaper.
Why is it cheaper?
I don't know, because you're spending less money at the time.
You mean like each time is less?
Yeah.
But if you go twice as often, or I guess if you go 50% more.
But the gas prices fluctuate so much that, you know, it's dime, 20 cents here. Anyway, that's what I do. Whether you like it or not, that's what happens.
I feel like your defense of the pecuniary value of this choice is one question deep and maybe not that deep.
It's not that deep, bro.
Okay, so you're a half a tank.
Yeah.
When it's a half a tank. Is it because of, I mean, is there any part of that that's like, I just want to be safe?
Of course.
Okay, I don't want to get down to a quarter tank.
Right.
Do you start to get worried at a quarter tank?
Oh, I'm more than worried because the water settles at the bottom of the tank, and I don't want that to go into
okay.
my...
Okay, all right. I start to get worried when it's...
probably the light
orange light is on.
Yes, yeah. Oh my gosh.
And he...
I figured you were an orange lighter.
Yeah, and mostly I'm a once a week. I typically get gas once a week.
But just out
like
of
habit.
You drive anywhere.
Well, I mean, we drive for like... We go for our raft rides or our bike rides or, you know, stuff like that. But that's usually about right. But, yeah. Meg, are you a... how often do you fill up your gas tank? What's your criteria? What's your standard? Are you by the... Is it location? Is it time? Is it quarter tank? What do you do?
Quarter tank.
Quarter tank?
Yeah, about a quarter tank. And it's usually about 10 days for me, almost 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So there's no rhythm to it exactly. Like,
no, below a quarter, then I start getting nervous.
Okay.
I don't want to see that light come on.
You feel like a bad girl if they if the light goes on?
Well, no. Psychologically, no. I don't feel like a bad girl. No.
Bad driver. Bad driver. Scolding
no,
you with its fingers, you know.
I don't feel bad. Gee. But I do. I look for cheaper prices, though. I do shop.
Okay.
I have about three stations I rotate through, and I look and see who's a dime cheaper.
Yeah.
So, and I'm on a budget, so I just kind of watch. Basically, try to time it out. So it's everybody.
There you go.
Weeks.
I think it's funny how I'm the same way. You know, I will try to get the deal. In fact, we used to do for years, we did a gas prices feature on the show. We just kind of gave it up because we decided that it didn't make a lot of sense for people anyway. It was kind of a waste of time. But I'm the same way. You know, I would prefer to shop for a cheaper gas. And it is funny how you get excited about, oh, milk is down a dime. Woo! You know, gas is down 4 cents. Woo! You know, it's funny the things you get excited about. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, $80 for a cable subscription.
That little mileage thing that tells you you have like 100 miles left.
Uh-huh.
I'll do that, especially if I'm heading out to the beach and going across. I think that bridge is 30 miles long.
Oh, yeah. No, 3 mile bridge is very long. Yeah. No. It always warns you, right? The front, there's that little sign that says, danger, don't go on the bridge.
Correct. You know. And I'll have like 90 miles left. I'll think, ooh, I better fill up before I go over the 3 mile bridge.
I definitely do not trust the miles remaining.
Correct.
I trust either. I trust my experience of that car and what the gauge means at what mm-hmm. level it's at.
I think they're different.
I do not trust the, you know.
Do you trust the orange light?
I do, but that's because I know when the orange light comes on.
Okay.
The orange light comes on at a certain emptiness level.
I never see the orange light.
Oh.
I've never seen mine in my car.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it works.
You're not living the dream. My
anxiety would be too high.
Let me give you the other perspective on this. My wife. Okay, a very reasonable, prudent, practical. She's
really
an industrial engineer. She says a quarter tank at earliest, because she figures over the course of her life, every time you stop and get gas, there's a transaction cost, there's an inefficiency cost, a time cost of getting in and out of the gas station. And though the gas pumping activity itself may take less if you fill in with less, but she just figures, I just don't want to pay that cost so often, and I save time over the course of my life, you know? So she's a busy person, and she'd rather, if you go when it's a half versus mm-hmm. going when it's a quarter, you're stopping for gas 50% more often. And she's like, why do I want to waste that time? So it's purely an efficiency matter for her. John Pickens has traffic
this
on the fives.
Time exchange thing like we talked about yesterday. Boy, I can
5 minutes versus 8 minutes, you know? And she's like, why would I spend 8 minutes? Or why would I spend 5 minutes two times instead of spending 8 minutes?
Okay, so you've ruined my gassing life now. I'm going to go fill up the tank, and I won't be able to get this conversation out of my mind.
That is always my goal with everything we do. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. But again, we're still seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. He ruins everything.
I ruin everything. Somebody says, I only fill up with gas when I'm going on a trip.
Wow.
I'm not sure how that works. Somebody says, John says, a quarter tank of gas. Not you, John. Different John. Quarter tank is when I fill it up, or if going on a long trip. No, same. If I know I'm making a trip, I'll fill up. Somebody says, a quarter tank is when I fill up. Somebody says, I just brought a brand new car and I... what did I just say?
Band.
A brand new car? Whatever. I just bought a brand new... That's why I got messed up. I just bought a brand new car and I fill it up on the last little tick before the red zone. Ooh, you have red on your car. Okay, I have a Honda. It's yellow or orange. Let's see. Somebody says, between an eighth and a quarter. Does that freak you guys out?
Yes. Yes.
I'm saying
it isn't me, so I'm not driving, so it's on you.
I will tell you that, again, generally on the week, because that tends to time out, right? Plus on the weekend is when we go take our trips and stuff, and I want to make sure to have a full tank of gas for that. But, yeah, I mean, I will go till the light's on, typically, is my normal. If I say I fill it up at a quarter, that's just not true. That's
just
not
never
accurate
thought
at
all. Of you as a guy living a life of risk.
No, that's exactly what I thought. He's living on the edge.
I would have bet money he was like a three-quarter tanker.
You're so funny.
Living
have
on
you
the
ever
edge.
Have you ever run out of gas?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
John?
No, sir.
Of course.
No.
No.
Well, I think
one time
maybe
ever.
Maybe like in high school.
But it was
school,
on a highway.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, this is like 40 years ago.
But
it's
I
a long
do
time ago.
Always top it off when I hear that a storm's coming or any kind of bad weather. Mm-hmm. I'm like the first one to get that. Even if it's three quarters full, I will top it off.
No, that's that Florida safety factor. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Somebody here says half a tank gives me time to look for a good price. Somebody here says, because if you know you're never going to be urgent at it, then they can pick and choose when to pay the price for it. I get that. That makes sense. Jim says, I fill up at a quarter tank or under. We'll look for cheap gas at that point. Somebody says, fill up a quarter. That's a pretty standard quarter, unless we're going somewhere far, in which case, fill it up. When the gas light comes on or when I'm already at the Tom Thumb because I ran out of beer. That's my people.
Priorities.
That's my, yeah, you know, I'm trying to overlap tasks, right? Not trying to waste time. When the light comes on and I'm figuring out my range remaining involves difficult math, I live for the rush. The thrill. Will we make it? Will we make it? There's nothing worse than when you're on the highway.
Oh, gosh.
And the light just came on after you just passed the Love's exit. You're like, no. And then some sign says 280 miles to Buc-ee's. You're like, that doesn't help me at all. Let's see. Fill it a quarter, but keep the engine light from sucking in the impurities at the bottom of the tank. Oh, keep the engine from getting in the impurities at the bottom of the tank. I don't know that that's such an issue with modern cars. John, you're a believer? You believe? Okay.
Oh, it is. There's water down there.
All right. As infrequently as possible, too little time in the day. Well, see, if you let it go far more often, you'd get rid of the water because it'd get used up.
But I don't want that in my engine.
I know.
Not a good thing.
I know. You're a very delicate engine protector, you and your sports car. As infrequently as possible, too little time in the day. I've got 20-plus miles and the light comes on. There you go. Somebody says, I missed the gas information you all used to. I'm sorry. I know. It was a fun little feature. I used to have people tell me, we always did it at 550, and people would tell me, if I hear you doing the gas prices and I'm in my car, I know I'm golden. If I hear you doing the gas prices and I'm still in the house, I'm in trouble. Which I understand, you know, listening on the app or whatever. Let's see. Yeah, I'm already at Sam's Club and, as in, I'm already doing the shopping, and I'll do it then. A third of a tank or less. I do the quarter tank because I've heard that vehicles struggle to utilize gasoline below that point. Not sure about the validity of it. He's correct. Fill up at the half tank. The quarter tank is bad for the fuel pumps in the tank, and it's best to keep them submerged as it helps keep the pump cooler and extends the life.
Thank you.
Oh, great. Science.
Thank you.
Science. Okay, fine. Quarter tank, I start looking for who has the cheapest gas. I fill up when I don't have enough range left for another work commute. Same logic as your wife. I'm also an engineer, been doing this for decades with no fuel system issues. And
well.
Oh,
I think I just
stuck
my tongue out at you.
How old are you?
Not 54. Come on, 13, you know that. Never less than a half tank during hurricane season. Well, that's its own special animal. All right. 850 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, I ruin everything.
Pensacola Beach is a wonderful place to vacation and celebrate with your family. If you thought about having a family celebration or a memorable beach wedding, Casa de Luna still has good dates available this year. Casa de Luna is spacious, with room for large families. It has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. And the pool can be heated. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another as a genuine jacuzzi. There's a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'll have what she's having.
Ah.
Good morning, 8:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, I had kind of mentioned this the other day, but there were some aspects of it. I was right up against the end of the hour and didn't get a chance to get into it too much. But, John, you remember the story I mentioned about the contact lenses that allow you to see into the infrared spectrum?
Yes, I do remember those.
I mean, super, like, wild story, right? They basically, they have a technology that puts these sort of nano elements into the contact lens that then converts it's the very barest of the infrared spectrum. So it's not like heat signature for an animal kind of technology just yet. But basically what they do is they put these, I don't know, these nanoparticles. They're called upconversion nanoparticles, which means that I've got to think about my wavelengths here. I guess it would raise the level of the wavelength because it slows it down. Anyway, so you have an infrared spectrum that you normally cannot see, and it slows it down just enough so that you can see it. Now, that doesn't mean it looks like infrared. It looks like, you know, red. I mean, it's going to look like something towards that end of the visible spectrum. Here's what's weird about this. First of all, if you wear these things, and again, you cannot see, like, it's not like night vision, not just yet, but you got to figure that's coming, okay, the more this technology evolves. Of course, it's going to completely ruin hide-and-go-seek.
Well,
that's terrible. But, you know, you think about, like, hunting or searching for a missing kid at night in the woods or something like that. There's all kinds of applications. Here's where it starts to get really weird. If you're wearing these things, and the way they did it is it's you don't have a lot of, like, discernment with them. You can't pick out shapes or anything. But what they'll do is they'll flash an infrared light, and you have to basically decide whether the flash is coming right, top, left, bottom. You know, that's about as much sophistication as you get. If you close your eyes, they work better. Because your eyelids filter out the visible spectrum and apparently don't do a very good job of filtering out the infrared spectrum. So the infrared passes right through your eyelids, goes into the nanoparticles in the contact lens, converts it to visible spectrum light, which you then can see because it's apparently illuminated enough or there's enough of a illuminating effect that you can see that. So you can be eyes closed using night vision contact lenses at some point in the future is what this means, right? That's crazy. But there's other applications like colorblindness. If you can find what spectrum of light you can't see or can't discern, maybe you can convert colorblind contrast into a spectrum with these nanoparticles crafted a different way that people could actually start to see color or see enough that they could distinguish colors even if they can't actually see the color, right? I don't know, just all kinds of applications for this. Obviously remedying certain kinds of blindness, color spectrum issues, and again, the ability to have some kind of infrared contacts in as you're walking around at night or something. So it's crazy.
I think that's a Mission Impossible.
No, this
because
is a
I
real
can remember
thing.
Tom Cruise like hanging down with the infrared. You could see it. That's what I'm seeing.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All righty. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, still a minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit at the construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Have you been to a Cracker Barrel lately? The Cracker Barrel here? The one over on West Side?
Yes.
Was it different?
Didn't look different to me.
Okay, because there's a story about how Cracker Barrel is revamping, is rebranding basically all of the insides of their, you know, restaurants. So they're going from the like the kind of the gray lattice with all the old-timey farm signs and stuff. And instead, I've seen one picture, and it kind of reminded me of like, what's the place at 9th and Creighton at Poor Boys?
Right? Po Folks.
They're going to paint the walls like a cream kind of color, and then they're just going to have, I don't know, what look like more modern, almost Art Deco-y kind of signs.
Why?
I don't know.
I love the decor in Cracker Barrel.
Right. I mean,
they gives you the old-time country feeling.
Why
you
would
know?
You change something that has been working so well forever? You feel like you're in, I don't know, grandma's garage or something, you know?
Garage? Wait, whoa. Do we need to talk about this?
It doesn't look like a house. I mean, it's got the hearth in there, but you know.
But when you say I was in grandma's garage, I'm like, bro, I didn't spend time in there, but I'm
grandpa's
worried about
garage?
You. I'm worried about you
trying
now.
Trying to be gender inclusive here. Anyway, so patrons are saying they find it shocking. They're surprised. Why would they change it? They, you know, somebody thought they were just priming it in getting ready to put the actual paint on.
Right.
And then they left it that way. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the change in things like this, especially when you've got a brand that is so well known for what it is. But they say they're not changing any of the essentials, you know, the walkthrough shop or the rocking chairs or whatever. But
did you spend a lot of time in the garage of your grandparents?
With my grandpa, yeah.
Okay.
Basically learning nothing because, I mean, he was great at repairs and had the extra screws, and I learned how to do – I hate handyman stuff. It's not my thing.
Holding the flashlight?
That's
Were you good at that?
Yeah, no, I'm the hold the flashlight kid. Okay. That's exactly right. 437-1620. Oh, this is just an interesting small note I thought. Camping World had a location where they told them that their flag was too big. You know, because they have those huge flags.
I have that problem.
And stop it. So their answer was, fine, we'll close and move. Instead of taking, good for them. Good for them. They had a, this was in, where was it? In Greenville, North Carolina. They, you know, the city ordinance says a flag could only be so tall, 70 feet. They were at 120 feet. They said it's too big. And they said, fine, we'll leave. We'll go somewhere else. We're going to keep our big flag. And if you don't want us here, you don't need to have us here. Good for them. I like those big flags. All right. Meg is up next. Garden Line with Mayor Mike. We'll see you tomorrow.